And, of course, open lines now here on Coast to Coast AM. Hear that bumper song? Sounds familiar, right? It's been on the program for, gosh, longer than I can remember. It really is. And that's why tonight I want to tell some of you who might not be aware of this, of some incredible news in the broadcasting business. You know, we come and go sometimes. Douglas MacArthur once said, old soldiers never die, they simply fade away. Well, as we all get up in age, for example, I've been doing this program now full-time for 10 years. 10 years. I don't know where the time went. And as you know, I've signed a long-term deal with the network now, which I think will take me out to when astronauts land on Mars. I really do. It's going to be very, very close to that. It's kind of unprecedented, but it's something that we worked out and everybody was happy with. But there was news last week that was truly mind-boggling as well. And I'm going to tell you about it, those of you who haven't heard, because I think this individual deserves to let all of you know what's going on and where he will be. To those of you who do not know, the guy who created this wonderful program, along with Alan Corbeth, Art Bell, has decided that he wants to come back into radio. Thank God he decided he didn't want to come back to this show. That would have been a problem for me. But he's going to satellite radio, and he's going to start sometime in September. And I just think for him personally, it's absolutely fantastic. Art and I have sent an email or two to each other over the past week. And he's very excited about his new endeavor. And I think it's come up at a perfect time in his life. You all know, you know Art probably better than you know me, some of you who have been with the program for a long time, and the things that he has gone through, which I am not going to talk about right now. But I think this is a great opportunity for him to just get back on the air and do what he does and to do what he does the best, and support him. You know, satellite radio is not cheap. It is not free. But this is a great opportunity for you to hear Art, and it's also a great opportunity for Art to touch bases with you again. So I'm delighted that he's on satellite radio. I kid with him and stuff like that, but It's a wonderful opportunity. I've got to tell you, this industry is going through major change. And when you can have living legends like Art, after 10 years, pick up and say, you know what? I want to come back. I want to do what I do best. I think it's just fantastic. You know, in my particular case, I've told Tommy, I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to end up dying. Sometimes I've died on the air, literally. But in this case, for Art, the best to you, Mr. Bell. Thank you for everything you've done for me, many of which nobody is even aware of. And whatever we can do for you, we will. And we'll be back in a moment with Open Lines. I got to tell you, the Open Lines we had the last hour last night about miracles and angels. This morning when I opened up my emails, I must have had 300 miracle emails from Coast listeners, from you. Truly riveting. This all came about with that story in Missouri where that young woman got into an accident, was hit by a drunk driver. She was in her car, and they couldn't get her out. She was going to die. And she asked everybody to pray, and out of nowhere, a priest shows up and prays with them. Tells them she's going to be okay, that they're going to get her out. They're waiting for the jaws of life to show up. They showed up right away, and then the priest disappeared. Also, there were 80 pictures taken at the scene of the EMTs, of everybody doing their thing. Not one picture has the priest in those photographs. Who the heck was the guy? But I'm telling you, I saw those stories this morning, plus the calls we took last night. Absolutely unbelievable. So let's go to the phones. We've got open lines. Let's go to Long Island, New York. We'll get Robbie to start it for us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Rob.
Hey, George. Good morning.
You too.
That was a good song by Lee Hazlewood. I remember that. That's
classic. I'm sure he's going to play it again
great
on satellite.
Song, great song.
Absolutely.
A friend of mine has a house out in Greenport, New York. And Plum Island, it's still business as usual. I still see the boats going out there.
Yeah, something's going on.
Something is going on.
Yeah. Have you seen any strange creatures plop out of there or anything?
I haven't seen any strange creatures, but I do believe that there is something going on and the government is doing things. No doubt.
They sure are. I did a show on that a long, long time ago. Might be time to revisit. I think they're creating things. They're playing around with test tubes and animals and all kinds of problems out there. Let's go to Mike, Portland, Maine. Michael, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Mike.
I just wanted to bring something to your attention that, you know, listeners and you would really be interested. It revolves around Linda Moulton Howe's investigation on the pyramid in Alaska.
Okay.
And it's through Google Satellite that I found this, and anyone can do this. If you go to Alaska using Google Satellite and you zoom down to the geography just above Denali National Reserve, you will see a full-bodied lion sketched right into the ground over a 50-mile range of the entire lion.
There's something going on there. You know, Linda's had a couple good reports on that. What do you think it is? Michael has disappeared. He's gone pyramid hunting on me. Davis in Sacramento, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay, Dave.
Hey, got something. I've been having a verbal email argument with this guy. His name is James Vorel. He's a writer for the Herald Review News.
Okay.
And I've been emailing him, and he's been emailing me back. Okay. Being retired myself, okay, in 2009, my wife and I, we went to Cancun. We went to Ixcaret, Tulum, Chichen Itza. In 2010, we went to Mexico City to Teotihuacan. And in 2011, we went down to Bolivia, La Paz, to go where? Pumapuku. And the argument that he has and I have going on is I told him that Pumapuku was built, they estimate, about 10,000 years ago. The ruins at Pumapuku are made of diorite and granite. He emails me back and says, no. Pumapuku was only built 1,000 years ago, and it's made out of sandstone. And I'm going, God dang, man, what does this guy live in, a glass bottle or something? I just don't understand this guy.
Well, there is some sandstone there, but you're right. It's got some other structures to it.
Right.
And other stone to it.
Right. Well, I even sent him, because I have some pictures, you know, that I put, you know, took with a digital camera. And I sent him two pictures, and I said, look at these pictures and tell me that this is made out of sandstone. And I told him, too, in the email, I said, you need to go there. And when you get back, after you've seen Pumapuku, then email me and then tell me it's made out of sandstone.
Good point. Let's go back to some other calls here. By the way, if you want to still share some of your miracle stories with us, go ahead. I mean, I found those to be last night absolutely fascinating. We go to Glenn in Ohio. Welcome to the Coast to Coast, Glenn. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Yeah, this is a question about either your guest or caller last night that talked about the thing following the space station. Do you recall that conversation?
I think that might have been a Japanese ship, but of some sort.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And he said he couldn't find anything online. That's what kind of bothered me, because it was online, I think, on Yahoo yesterday, and on NHK this morning, or this afternoon, I guess, on their news they reported. It was a capsule launched out of Japan that was bringing up a lot of water, I think, for some of the experiments being run on the station. So it wasn't anything strange. Now, the seven lights, I don't know about that, but the thing following him was the capsule launched out of Japan. Nobody called in. That's what I was curious about.
No, and I found out late last night that that's what it was.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
right. You're right.
I just had a confirmation today, but I know I read it on Yahoo last evening. Exactly. Okay, that's all I need.
Okay, my friend. Be well. Let's go to Roslyn, New York. It's Rick's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Rick, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Hey, okay, Rick.
That was really good. You changed a lot of opinions I had about you by telling me that thing about Art Bell on the satellite.
Well,
I thought you'd never say anything about that. But anyway, that's really good you did that. Listen, I wanted to ask you a question about, it could have been, George, it could have been maybe 2 or 3 years ago. You had a program where this guy went, I forget the area, how you call it. It's the area between Asia and Europe, the Asia Minor, they used to call it. It was
right.
somewhere within that area, around Turkey, around in there.
Okay.
And he went down into a cave. And he went very deep in the cave, and at the bottom of the cave, he was a reputable person, too. He wasn't one of these fly-by-night talks, the Palladians and stuff like that. He went down the bottom of the cave, and there was a metal floor. He came across like an iron or a metal floor, and he heard machinery below it. He was going to try and return within the year on another expedition and find out more about what was where that was. And then nothing, it's been at least that much, and nothing was ever said again about it. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about was that pyramid in Alaska that a guy brought up a couple of calls ago. You had a program once on somebody who spoke about that, and they were going to go back and revisit it. And then I never heard anything else about it. You know what I'm talking about with either one of them?
Yeah, that one Linda was working on, Linda Moulton Howe, and we've got to follow up with her on that.
What about the thing in Asia Minor?
But the guy, and I can't remember his name, I can go back and get that. He was supposed to go back, and he never did. And I think my producer, Lisa, 2 years ago was trying to find him again, and she can't find the guy.
Maybe the Morlocks got him.
They might have. Thanks, Rick.
Okay, take care.
All right, let's go to Tom in Taft, California, on the wildcard line. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George. You know, I'm absolutely amazed and spellbinded by this video I saw on the net regarding an individual who seemed to me to be totally compelling, totally truthful in what he was saying, and his name is Phil Schneider.
Yes.
And as you know,
the late Phil Schneider.
The late Phil Schneider. And, you know, he's going around talking about building these underground military bases, allegedly as one of the chief engineers for the government. He's talking about a shootout with aliens in 79 in the Dulce Archuleta Mesa in New Mexico. And then I find out about Paul Benowitz that you were talking about a couple of nights ago or whatever. And I'm just wondering, you know, they destroyed Paul Benowitz for what he found out. What he discovered about Dulce, New Mexico, and this guy was a physicist, Paul Benowitz, as you know, allegedly, and, you know, and they destroy him because of what he was discovering. And I'm just wondering, what do you think about Phil Schneider and the whole Dulce, New Mexico phenomenon?
I think Phil Schneider was a hero, was a great researcher. He risked his life, and it may have taken his life, his research, doing what he did. And, I miss him. He's been on the program before, and I think Art interviewed him, and I might have interviewed him a long time ago. Nobody researched underground caverns like Phil Schneider did. He was one of the best. And, you know, we just had a Coast Dead People show where we paid tribute to all the guests that have passed on, and six of them in particular. And we didn't have a clip of Phil. Some of these old clips we can't even find anymore. But I'm telling you, these are pioneers. These are people who have gone way out of their way to develop stories. And, you know, they put their whole lives and careers on the line to try to get answers to many of the questions we try to ask. Phil Schneider was one of those. Bill Cooper was too, who died in a shootout with law enforcement. Let's go to Debbie in Tennessee. Whereabouts in Tennessee are you, Deborah?
I'm sorry?
Where are you?
Oh, I'm in Jackson, Tennessee.
There you are. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I want to tell you I enjoy your show every night. We listen to it, turn it on, and listen to it till we fall asleep and then replay it the next day. I'm a hospice nurse, so I love the angel shows. They go right along with everything that we see every day. And my grandfather was in Army Ordnance, and he worked with the Nike, Hercules, and Jupiter missiles. And so when you talk about the alternative power and, like, what is it, the Philadelphia Project or Manhattan Project, when those shows, I mean, he spoke very little, but always hung on every word he said, and it goes right along with the different things he said. But I really called to about the show last night about as far as the angels.
Oh, yes.
And I had a real unique experience. I'm allergic to so many medicines, and I have anaphylactic reactions, not just normal reaction, not just it makes my stomach hurt or something. And so it's real iffy anytime I take a new medicine, and I had to have a cardiac stress test. And you can put somebody on a treadmill and do it. Then you have to really jump onto the gurney, and they have to put the thing right on your heart to catch it. Or you can take a medicine that actually stops your heart, and then it starts again, and they see the blood flow that way. Well, I was scheduled to have the medicine, and I'd never taken a sleeping pill before, ever. And I was really anxious. It was just a really difficult time in general. Wrong time for me to need to be in the hospital. I had worked at the hospital, so I knew several of the nurses, this kind of thing. So they were like, you know, just rest. And so I took a sleeping pill. The cardiologist was supposed to have come in and seen me, and he never came in. About 11:30, I guess I'd taken the pill around 10:30. Around 11:30, he came in, and he had these, I remember, sparkling eyes and curly blonde hair, and he was really tall. I mean, he was a very big man, and he had a very gentle, jovial nature. And he explained to me, he asked me about medicines and stuff like that, and I explained to him I couldn't take them or that I had trouble taking them. And he said, oh, well, let's not give you the medicine then. And he said, I'll write that order. He did. And he said, and I'll be right there with you when you have the test done. He said, so I'll be able to see it right then. And this was at 11:30 at night. They took me in there at 6:30 in the morning and did the test at 7. And he was standing beside me as I was on the treadmill. And then, like I said, you have to jump on to this gurney. I am short and fluffy, so it's not easy to jump. And he picked me up and put me on the gurney and took the wand and just put it right on my heart and watched the blood flow.
Hold it right there, Debbie. I'll have you finish it up when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for that traditional Friday night and the Saturday morning shout-out. Those of you supporting Coast to Coast AM, listening on your favorite radio station across North America, 573 to 75 strong now. Some of them are doing simulcasting in a market, so it's really growing. By the way, in Vancouver, British Columbia, those of you listening to us, and I'm going to have to tell you again at 1 o'clock, but September 2nd, we start at 10 o'clock in Vancouver, which has been a great city for us. So there you go. Coast Insiders, thank you for everything you do and that growing list. XM Talk Channel 246. And how about the various chat rooms and groups? Into Infinity. Fantastic Forum, too. These are groups that have listened and supported this program for years. Imaginative Worlds, Coast Gab, Sorcery IRC, those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, National Radio Club, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Let's go back to Debbie in Tennessee now. Debbie, let's get you to finish your story. So you're on a treadmill. What's going on?
Okay, I was on a treadmill. I'd been having some chest pain and come into the hospital. The doctor had showed up at 11:30 at night. I couldn't catch his name. I was trying to come up out of a fog and couldn't couldn't quite wrap my mind around everything, so the memories are just kind of spotty on that. The next day, they took me in at 6:30, and he was there in the room at 7. And so they put me on the treadmill, and like I said, I'm short, stocky, heavy, you know, not easy to pick up. And he just kind of picked me up and put me on the gurney because it has to be done really fast. And he just, in one motion, took the wand from the girl, put it on my chest, got the picture he wanted, and he laughed. And he had this very hearty, sweet, jovial laugh that just made you smile. And he said, "You're fine." He said, "It's okay. It's not your heart." He said, "I'm not sure what it is, but it's not your heart, but you're going to be fine." And I thanked him very much. And the girl, the tech, was supposed to be running it. She said that in all of her years, she had not had a doctor come into that area, that they just, the doctors don't do that test in the hospital that I was at. And she said, so that was kind of unique. And so I go back to my room and I asked the nurses, I said, "He was so nice." Well, that hospital would use sometimes traveling physicians, or there were extra staff.
They called them in.
That's what they would have done. And so he was the one that came. Well, I said, "Who was he? I'd love to go see him. You know, to have a doctor like that would just be awesome." And so they said, "I don't know. We'll get his name." And they came back and they said, "We can't read his signature." And so we laughed. That's not unusual.
Not with a doctor.
And I'm sorry?
Not with a doctor.
No, not with a doctor at all. So, you know, that wasn't a big deal. So they said, "Well, we'll call and find out." They never did find out. Nobody knew who it was that came to see me. But there was definitely a legible note in there that said that canceled the order for the medication I was supposed to have. That, like I said, it stops your heart, then your heart stops right back up again so they can see the blood flow. And the danger in that is that, if you have a reaction to it, your heart has been stopped.
That's right, and it doesn't start again. Well, you know who that was, Debbie? That was an angel. And, of course, we're on the cutting edge of technology. We take your text messages. Tom's got one.
The cutting edge. George, I'm Ken in Georgia.
No, you're Tom, back in the booth.
You going to let me read this to you or not?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I'm Ken in Georgia. Can you please explain what the heck shape-shifting is? My son brought it up at dinner the other night, and I have no idea. By the way, he listens to you.
Shape-shifting.
Shape-shifting.
Let me tell you about shape-shifting. It's when a entity or a person has the ability to literally change their physical appearance from one thing to another.
And we've seen that before.
And generally, yes, we have. Both of us have witnessed that. And generally, the shifting is not a good thing, right? You generally will go from a pleasant entity or a pleasant environment to something that is somewhat demonic.
The ones I've seen are not, but I wonder if it could go the other way.
I've never seen it go the other way.
Either way.
I've never seen something demonic or evil shapeshift to something friendly and nice.
Well, what a great world that would be, huh?
Oh, I would love it. Okay, thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Don in Austin, Texas, Wildcard Line. Hey, Donald, go ahead.
Hi, George. It is a true pleasure to speak with you, I have to say. I'm a 4-year listener, 3-year Coast Insider, and you have truly opened up my world.
Well, thank you for joining us, Don.
I wanted to share something recently. I had heard a show with Linda Moulton Howe about the crop circles in Tennessee.
Yes.
And just earlier in July, I was driving from Texas up to New York, and I was actually going through the area, and I was able to reach out to Connie. And she received me and my daughters well out there and shared a little tour with us. And we were driving back to a hotel after we left her property, and the strangest thing happened.
What happened?
And I Don't know if anybody has ever seen anything quite like this. I had my window down on the driver's side about halfway, and out of my window there were, I was coming, it was beginning to rain, and I was coming up, and I started to notice the street lamps on the highway as we entered the freeway. And right in between two of these street lights, the only way I know how to describe it, the first thought that came into my head with what I saw was, that's not a firefly. And it was this white, like lightning bright ball about the size of a baseball. And then in a flash, I saw arcs coming off of it, like a little isolated electrical storm of some...
Like a little ball of plasma, which it could have been.
Plasma? Maybe. I don't know. And the strange thing is, it was right in between two of the street posts. It was, as fast as I could see it come and go as I was getting on the highway, it looked like it was dead center between the two. I don't know. It was just odd, the timing of the whole thing, because we literally had just left the area and was just looking at the grass in that area, and it's all growing back a different colored green, a very vibrant phosphorus green.
It could have been an orb, Don, too. It might have been.
Well, I know she was. I replayed that whole episode several times and know that there were some orbs in a video.
Well, you know, there are so many things on this planet that we just don't understand. We don't. Some people have said, for example, that these orbs are spirits of those who have passed on. I mean, who knows? They might be. Let's take a few more calls here. This hour's going by way too fast. Rich, truck driving in Illinois. Hey, Rich, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Oh, goodness, I can't believe I finally got onto your show. I've been listening forever and could never get through.
Well, you know what we have done? We've added more lines to take care of that, so that might make it a little easier for people.
And I'm actually really nervous, so let me go ahead with what I was calling about. I'm a truck driver, and I've driven all around the country, and I've noticed an increasing amount of, I guess I would call it, unmarked convoys of military vehicles driving around.
Oh, really?
I was in Nevada, and I saw there was a train. It had to be over a mile long, just black, unmarked, like armored personnel carrier-type vehicles. I don't know if I'm just paranoid or if they're up to something. I know there's a terror alert in Texas this weekend, so is the government on to something, or am I just being paranoid with seeing all the vehicles around?
Well, you know what? I think it's I'd rather err on the side of caution. And don't be paranoid, because they have been doing a lot of different maneuvers around the country. And a lot of people have sent me emails saying, what is it with all these caravans of military trucks unmarked? But you can tell they're green. Let's go to Bloomington, Illinois. Linda's with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Linda.
George, I have been listening to our bell, and now I've been listening to you since the day you came on. And I lose so much sleep.
Good. We're doing our job.
Oh, goodness. I have an angel story for you, dear.
Okay.
This one is just, okay. We got called to the hospital that my father was in pretty bad shape. He had fell and he had fractured his hip. He was close to 90. And my mother, sister, niece, and I were all standing in the hallway. And they didn't think he was going to come through it. So I told them all, I said, look, he's not in good health. Let's just not fight it. Let's just let him go. You know, just don't prolong the agony. So nobody could decide, and I just couldn't stand to see him like that. So we walked back into the room. My mother and my sister was on one side of the bed. My niece and I was on the other side of the bed, and we were standing there trying to talk to him, and he was completely out of it. And about that time, this woman walked into the room, and she had a... Now, see, I changed and became Catholic. My mother, sister, and niece were not really religious. And so, anyway, this lady walked in, and she had a habit on and a white shirt, and the navy blue skirt. And I stood there, and she walked in, and she walked up, and she asked me what was wrong, and I told her it was my father and that he was gravely ill. She reached her hand out, and she said, well, let us pray. I took her hand, and it was just like solid ice. And so then she reached her hand out to my mother and then the rest of them, and we all said a prayer over her, over my dad. And she turned around, and when she got done, she went to leave the room. And when she walked out of the room, I thought, oh, my goodness, I didn't tell her thank you. So I turned around, and I took off out of the room, and I couldn't see her nowhere. So we weren't very far from the nurse's station. So I walked to the nurse's station, and I said to the one nurse, I said, what happened to the nun that was just in the room? Because they had, it was a Catholic hospital, and it's not that big. And they had really cut back on a lot of the nuns. And she said, the nun? And I said, yeah, what happened to her? Where did she go? And she goes, there hasn't been any up here tonight. And she looked at the other woman, and she said to her, she says, did you see a nun up here tonight? And she goes, no, there hasn't been any up here. So she went into the little back room there, and she said to the other girl, she goes, did you see a nun up here tonight? And they all said, no, there hasn't been any up here tonight. I was just totally mystified. And so I just kind of looked around, and I walked back to the room. And the very next day, my dad was sitting up in bed.
There you go.
So what would you call that?
A miracle.
You know, but anyway, could I go back to Tommy, you know, but...
All right.
You know, I am so thankful that she came into the room, you know, and it was like a blessing, you know.
You want to go back to Tommy?
Yeah.
All right. What are you going to talk to Tommy about?
You know, I like Tommy.
All right.
I like you, too.
All right, but I'll let you go back to Tommy. that may be a first. Now they're calling for him. Let's go to Linda. That was Linda. Let's go to Luke in Lewiston, Maine. Welcome to the show. Hi, Luke.
Hi, George. Can you hear me?
Yep, I sure can. Welcome.
Okay. I just want to get right to the point. I wanted to report to you a new observation that a friend of mine and myself made recently about the chemtrails, and we were out in New Hampshire in the White Mountains, and we had plenty of time to sit and observe and take pictures, and I just sent pictures to you. I don't know if you will have gotten them yet, have you?
I haven't looked yet.
We'll put them in your email box, just three pictures, and in the first picture, you can see clearly a line across the sky. It was taken with a dumb phone, so they're not a great resolution, but you can see the chemtrail that was sprayed across the sky. It stayed there for at least a half an hour. We then watched a bunch of white, puffy clouds. This line was laid with the wind, so all the clouds moved down that line as they were crossing the sky. The line never moved. And in the second picture, you can see as some of the very thin, white, wispy clouds got to the end of that line. Now, these were clouds that were not big enough to even have a gray on the bottom. They all changed color. And they turn to a dingy, nasty, gray, metallic-looking color. And then in the last picture, you can see the aftermath of the line as it started to disperse.
We may email you back with permission to use those on the website, okay?
Yeah, I'm actually hoping that maybe you can also forward them to your meteorologist friend that you had on recently.
Okay, Scott Stevens.
The one
Stevens.
That was talking about the plumes in the Pacific Ocean and the chemtrails.
We will do that for you. You know, here's my take on chemtrails. Now, there's something's bizarre here. Here's an example. You wake up one day, you look outside, it's perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. Not a cloud in the sky, not a jet trail, not a chemtrail. Nothing. Just perfectly clear, right? The next day, it's supposed to be a perfectly clear day, you have tic-tac-toes and zigzags everywhere. Here's my take on this. Somebody says, well, it's only jet trail. If that were the case, theoretically, you've got the same amount of planes and jets flying on Monday as you do Tuesday, as you do Wednesday. The routes are the routes. They're always flying every day. Why is it on one day you have nothing, and then the next day you would have so-called jet trail? That can't be it. It's impossible. If you're going to have jet trail, you're going to have jet trail every day. And every day, those clear skies would be muddied up, and you'd see that. So my theory is that when you see these tic-tac-toe shapes and things like that, that's when the chemtrail boys take over and they spray and it doesn't dissipate and it stays up there. I mean, to me, that's one of the most logical things you can think about. Let's get another call in before the break. Let us go to Francis in Kent, Washington. West. Hi, Francis.
Hey. Good to talk with you. Absolutely amazing coincidences. There are no coincidences.
And there are none. What happened?
I photographed a chemtrail in Washington State exactly like that man described with the previous caller. And I sent you an email twice
okay.
with my high-resolution photographs. And he describes it perfectly, what I photographed and sent to you as well. And it just amazes me the serendipity of the whole thing, you know. Anyway, I was on the Washington Peninsula, the Olympic Peninsula, driving around. I'm a professional photographer, and I heard this extremely loud roar. I was driving down the highway, and I heard the roar in my car driving down the highway, and I stopped and listened, and then I noticed this jet trail across the sky and the puffy white clouds going up from it. I sent you a high-resolution panorama photograph, 165 degrees, of that experience, and several people noticed it up here. And then that caller before, it was just absolutely amazing. He described what I photographed perfectly. And he's in New Hampshire, and I'm in Washington.
Well, let me tell you. It's
anyway, I sent photos to you.
Okay. So when did you send them? You just sent them?
I sent them twice. I sent them on Wednesday morning, and I sent them this morning.
All right. The Wednesday ones I don't have, I'll check for the ones this morning.
Okay. Chemtrails remarkable photo in the tagline.
All right, we'll do that. By the way, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. If you're not doing that, let me tell you how you can do it. It's very simple. It's very free. Simply go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, far right-hand corner. You'll see the little icon for Facebook or Twitter. You just click that, and it takes you exactly to those websites, and then you can follow us and like us and do whatever you have to do. Coming up on another new milestone with Facebook. So those of you who have not yet followed us and liked us, please like us. Simply go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Open lines continue when we come right back.